Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, today you want to talk about China, Christmas, and creation. I'll be interested in learning how those three things could possibly be related.
Well, you're right, Scott. Those three subjects probably don't get mentioned together in a conversation very often.
Or ever.
But as we are in the Christmas season, and this is a program that focuses on creation, and China has been in the news quite a bit lately, I found what I thought was an interesting connection tying them all together. It started with an article I read in the newspaper about something that happened in China.
Let me guess, China's government is banning all Christmas celebrations.
No, but it does have something to do with the Chinese government prohibiting something, but probably not something you would think.
So what is it?
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, a group of Chinese medical researchers claimed that they made, or could it be said they created, the world's first gene-edited babies. And when the Chinese government learned of it, the government said to stop it.
Really? That is surprising. I would not have expected a communist government to be concerned about the ethics of manipulating the human genome. I mean, that almost seems like they're acknowledging the sanctity of human life, doesn't it?
Well, that's the same reaction I had, Scott. And that's why the headline of the Associated Press article caught my eye. The AP article out of Hong Kong was titled, "Gene-Edited Baby Research Halted by Chinese Government." My initial thought was, why would the Chinese government object to genetic research using humans, even babies? So here's what the article said. China's government ordered a halt today to work by a medical team that claimed to have helped make the world's first gene-edited babies. Chinese Vice Minister of Science and Technology, Yu Nanping, told state broadcaster CCTV that his ministry is strongly opposed to the efforts that reportedly produced twin girls born earlier this month. Vice Minister Yu called the team's actions illegal and unacceptable.
So it sounds like the scientists did the genetic manipulation on unborn babies.
That's right. The experiment was done on embryos. So in fact, they were experimenting on humans, but doesn't it seem rather ironic? The Chinese government is acknowledging that the embryos they were experimenting on were humans, something we all know in our heart, and yet the pro-abortionists deny embryos are humans, yet. And using their logic, who knows when it becomes a human? But my understanding is that abortion is common in China. So, like you, Scott, I found the government's reaction odd. So, let me read more from the article. A group of leading scientists had gathered in Hong Kong this week for an international conference on gene editing, the ability to rewrite the code of life to try to correct or prevent diseases. Researchers at the conference claim to have altered the DNA of twins to try to make them resistant to infection with the AIDS virus. Mainstream scientists have condemned the experiment, and universities and government groups are investigating. Vice Minister Yu said the experiment, quote, crossed the line of morality and ethics, adhered to by the academic community, and was shocking and unacceptable, unquote.
Now, Dr. Scripture, isn't what they're referring to there also called gene therapy?
Yes, gene therapy. It's a procedure done on cells that are not functioning properly in some way in a person's body. And at the DNA level, the cells are given the genetic information to function the way they are supposed to. So, for example, let's say there's a crucial protein missing in the patient causing some disease. Well, gene therapy can result in that person's cells gaining the ability to make the missing protein. So, it is an actual cure, not just a treatment of symptoms with a drug.
But that sounds like a GMO person.
Oh, Scott, I'm not going to touch that. I don't want to go down that road. But technically, you're absolutely right. A person who's had gene therapy done to cure a disease is a genetically modified organism. But let's read a little more of the article. Speaking of gene therapy, it goes on to say, Although the science holds promise for helping people already born, and studies testing that are underway, a statement issued today by the 14-member conference leaders says it's irresponsible to try it on eggs, sperm, or embryos, except in lab research, because not enough is known yet about its risks or safety. The conference was rocked by the Chinese researchers' claim to have helped make the world's first gene-edited babies. So from this, we learn that the objection is essentially to experimenting on what will be a baby that is born. The distinction being, it's apparently okay to experiment on humans in a test tube, as long as they only remain there.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, we certainly recognize that to be arbitrary and rather tragic, because it doesn't just happen in China, it happens right here in the United States as well. But my question is, how does this relate to Christmas and creation? You said they were all going to be connected somehow in our program today.
Oh, here's how, Scott. What do we celebrate at Christmas?
The birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, a special, unique kind of birth.
You mean the virgin birth?
Exactly. The Bible makes it very clear that Joseph was not. No human man was involved in the conception of Jesus, the Son of God. Thus, Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. And let's read the passages that reveal this. First, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. You start, Scott.
Okay. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit.
And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly.
But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.
Hallelujah!
Indeed. But before we look at the other passage, I want to point out something about that word that was translated conceived there in Matthew 1:21. It's not the specific word that is used in Greek to mean conception, that is, the joining of sperm and egg to produce a living embryo. The word basically means to bring forth. It's the word translated begat so often in the King James. So even if the more fundamental meaning of the word was used here, what would it say? Maybe something like this, quote, for that which has been brought forth in her is of the Holy Spirit, unquote. Scott, does that terminology, brought forth, remind you of anything in creation?
Well, yes, it does. As God was creating a bunch of different things during the days of creation, the text describes the earth's response to God's word as, quote, it brought forth, unquote, such and such.
That's right. For example, Genesis 1:11 says, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. And then verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth vegetation. So, just like in the creation of vegetation, as well as the land animals, God speaks and material life, plants and animals, are created. But remember how the account of how God created the first human was different? He didn't just speak and the substance of the earth,
called dust of the ground when God was making Adam.
Yes, we're told the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, but then he did something else.
He breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living being.
Precisely. And I think we should understand then that by the action of the Holy Spirit, the inanimate substance of the earth was made alive, made to be a human being, the first human being, because the Spirit of God endowed the form of the man with a spirit. So at creation, what did God do to create man? He combined physical material and immaterial spirit. And voila, there's a human being. So now let's go back to the birth of Christ, or more precisely, the conception, the bringing forth of Christ. We read Matthew, so now let's read in Luke. And I'm just going to read portions of Luke chapter 1. God sends Gabriel to Mary, and then, quote, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. But then Mary asks, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Now, there's something fascinating about this word offspring, because it is the translation of the same Greek word we discussed before that has the sense of being brought forth. So it could be translated, "The Holy One brought forth shall be called the Son of God," or even "the Holy Conception shall be called the Son of God." But in Gabriel's statement, "You will conceive in your womb," the word translated "conceive" there is a specific word that is more descriptive of the event of conception. It's a two-part word that has the sense of joining together or taking hold of something, like gripping something. So what's being joined together, so to speak, in Mary's womb? The Spirit of God the Son and the seed of the woman. In essence, the same kind of action performed by God in the creation of Adam. Physical material was combined with immaterial spirit. And what was the result?
A human being.
Exactly. So, in the womb of Mary, the inanimate substance of her egg was made alive when the Holy Spirit combined the Spirit of Christ with a material egg or ovum, and the Son became a human being. Try to imagine this. Try to imagine the creation of Adam out of the dust, or imagine the Son of God being made a human. How did the Holy Spirit do it? Well, I don't think there's any way for us to understand it. After all, it's a miracle.
Yep.
But what we can understand is the pre-existent Son of God became a human as Adam. And in the context of comparing them, here's how Paul described Adam and Jesus. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. "The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam," referring to Christ, "became a life-giving spirit." And then again in verse 47, it says, "The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven." So notice here, it's almost as though Paul is saying, the first one created this way was Adam, and the second one created this way was Christ. Now, to be sure, the Spirit of God the Son was not created. It existed before it was combined with a body. But the spirit of Adam was created by God there in Eden. It's amazing. The miracle at creation, when God created Adam, was done again in similar fashion in the womb of Mary. And our Creator became one of His creatures, a man. He was conceived in the womb. He grew as a fetus in Mary's body. He was given birth. As a baby, he grew up and lived as a teenager and then as a full-grown man. He lived a perfect and holy life and showed us what we were meant to be. When the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.